Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, now that our nation has been thrashed, literally thrashed, by Harvey and Irma, the deficiency of our federal government and all of its bureaucracies has been somewhat evidenced. Regardless of its power and might, regardless of the size and power, regardless of the ability to print billions of dollars for recovery, the enormity of these two natural disasters have proven again that the irreplaceable role of individuals and the church in responding to the needs of people in such times of need. And we're also witnessing how such enormous events can, for at least a while, unify a divided nation. Now, on the other hand, events like Charlottesville, potentially as long-term destructive, has had a totally different response. By and large, the church ran from this event and the related protests and riots, and unlike the hurricane response, really has chosen to remain divided and not unified. Now, why do we have these two different responses? Well, today we're going to discuss why the church is unified and what it is doing specifically in Texas following the devastation of Harvey. And our special guest is going to be Dr. Shane Pruitt, who has really been in charge of leading the efforts for the Texas Southern Baptist Convention, the largest denomination in Texas. We're going to talk with Dr. Pruitt in just a moment about the progress there and how the churches in Texas have been responding to these enormous needs in the greater Houston area. Then I'm going to tell you in segments 3 and 4, we're going to bring in another guest, Dr. Alex McFarland, a Christian apologist, author, professor, and preacher, to consider why the contrary situation in Charlottesville has produced there an opposite response, and to consider why the church really has run from this event rather than pursuing those things that lead to unity. So with that, I welcome you to the Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined today by Gary Dahl. Dave Kistler is traveling. Isaac Crockett is involved in other church-related duties. So, Gary, yesterday we got a bit of an update on this program from our guest, Ed Stevens, relative to impacts of Irma in Florida. From his perspective, as a first responding law enforcement official. And one thing he made clear, ladies and gentlemen, on that program was that we must not depend on the federal government in such times of need. He, like others, have made it clear that it's people who help people, often organized and coordinated through the church, that is the most effective and, frankly, the most efficient. So today, I've asked a friend, a very competent millennial age pastor, a younger pastor in his 30s, but doing a gigantic responsibility there as director of evangelism for the Southern Baptist Convention in Texas. Name's Dr. Shane Pruitt, and he's going to give us an update on what's actually happening there in Texas and how the church is really leading the way in rebuilding. With that, I welcome you to the program today, Dr. Shane Pruitt, director of evangelism and the emergency response, I should add, for the state of Texas there. Thank you for being with us today.
It is completely my honor and privilege. It is an honor to be on with you, gentlemen.
Well, Shane, if I can call you that, I'll just leave the doctor off.
Absolutely.
Because it could be a little bit quicker here. Before I get into the details of the church involvement in Texas, could you please share with us, if you could, about the position you fill there with the Texas Southern Baptist Convention, how you came to be tapped with the responsibility of overseeing this gigantic church-wide or statewide involvement there in the following up the devastation to Harvey? How did you get to be there in the first place?
Yeah, that's great. I think the easy answer is the sovereignty of God, you know, but the more practical answer is I fill the role of director of evangelism, and in that department is a massive department with lots of responsibilities. So in that department falls disaster relief is one of our big ministries, student ministries, collegiate, personal evangelism, language evangelism. And then I have team leaders for each of those efforts. And so Scotty Stice is our director of disaster relief. And then how I came into that position is I was a church planter myself and a pastor, and the church grew quickly. I began to do a lot of speaking for the convention. And so when roles opened up. They reached out to me and about praying about taking the role, and we prayed and felt the Lord say, do this. And so here we are, and we couldn't be more thankful. It is a gigantic responsibility, but we have even a bigger God that, fulfills and sees. And I always tell people what God orders, he pays for. So that means he pays for with resources and energy and wisdom and vision to do it.
Shane, it's a delight to have you with us. And you say you have a great God. What do you call him, a gigantic God? You also have a gigantic ministry to perform there with the Texans, the Southern Baptist Texans. Yep. Let me just ask you to try to put things into a more clearer perspective for our audience. How many churches are there, how many Southern Baptist churches are there in Texas? And how many of those churches are you involved with particularly?
Yeah, great question. We have over 2,600 churches in our Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, and that grows weekly. We'll have sometimes 2 to 5 churches join our convention per week. So it is a fast-growing convention. And over 700 of our churches are in the Harvey-affected areas, and over 100 have been, their buildings or facilities have been impacted, flooded, damaged in some way. So it's a massive, not just a huge effort to love and care for our citizens in a state of 28 million people, but we got personally invested churches that are affected as well.
Shane, if I could quit here real quickly, when you stepped into this role and you have devastation of the kind that they have impacted there, you say over 700 churches somewhat in that greater Houston area, I have to assume that there was some kind of a plan for response already in place. You couldn't have put something together overnight. Tell us a little bit about that plan perhaps in place and when it was put into place and perhaps the biblical justification for why the convention felt that the churches ought to be organized to respond to such events.
Yeah, absolutely. We've worked disasters, throughout the years. My director of disaster relief, Scotty Stice, has been doing it well over a decade. And so there was already best practices in place. But one thing about Harvey, it was so massive, the largest in history, that it changed the rules for everything. And so a lot of things we were adjusting as we're going. It took us, we had immediate response. But now we're in a full-on sprint and just seeing God do incredible things. But when it comes to the churches and why we do disaster relief is we believe it is a platform for evangelism. And that's the very reason it falls in the evangelism department. It's, hey, we can feed meals and we can help people, but ultimately we want to impact their eternity.
Talk to Shane Pruitt, Director of Evangelism and overseeing the emergency response in Texas to follow up to Harvey. He's our guest now and into the next segment. When we come back in the next segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more specifically to Dr. Shane Pruitt relative to what's actually happening on the ground, what it looked like, the size of the magnitude of that devastation, and some personal examples of how their involvement there have actually impacted churches and people's lives. I think you'll want to hear this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, when disasters strike, there are some things that government can and should do. But on the other hand, there are many things that they can never do. When disasters strike, there are many things the church most effectively does, if they're prepared to do them. And in this segment, we're going to look at what the church and churches have done in Texas in response to the devastation caused by Hurricane Harvey. Our special guest is Dr. Shane Pruitt. He's the director of evangelism for the Texas Southern Baptist Convention. We just said is made up of about 2,600 churches in Texas. So there are a lot there, of which he said about 700 of them were actually affected to one degree or another in the greater Houston area. So I'm going to welcome you back again, Shane, and want to get right into it if I could. When you began to lead, and frankly are still leading, the Southern Baptist Convention efforts there in response to the devastation in the greater Houston area, how soon were you, when, once that hit and it became evident that there were that there was damage, how quickly were you able to marshal the forces and put into effect the plans laid out by the convention there to respond? And what did you do first? What was the first response that you were called upon to do?
Yeah, great question, Sam. You know, the easy answer to that is immediately. You know, we had disaster relief teams that have been in place and leadership in place for a long time. You know, I think emotionally you want to get people on the ground and get supplies there. But Harvey was a different situation in the sense of it wasn't a storm that came through and was done. It just stayed for days. And so we took that opportunity to check on communities, pastors, call, gather data. That way, the moment the rain stopped, we could respond immediately with a game plan. And so, yeah, immediately on the assessment part. But, you know, with so many areas still under rain and flooding, first responders would not even let groups come in until they could assess, you know, the situation there, the injuries, the homes. But we took that as an opportunity where we were working overtime to get our game plan together specifically for a Harvey response.
Shane, my question is really twofold, and again, we thank you for being on, and we've got a number of stations in Texas, so perhaps some are hearing us right now even as we speak. But number one, right now, this very moment, what is the current situation there in, for instance, the greater Houston area? How much have they recovered in the past couple of weeks? And as you look out your window, basically speaking, if I could put it that way, what do you see going on in Houston? And then secondly, in the help that the Southern Baptist Convention gives, is it directly to churches or individual people or organizations or civil government? Maybe you can break that down for our listeners as well.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so here we are today. We had a long I had a long meeting with my director of disaster relief yesterday, and he updated me. Over 275,000 homes have flooded, and it is massive. And then, like already has been mentioned, we have 700 churches in that area, just the convention. You know, there's other churches of other denominations, of course. And then over 100 of those churches have been damaged in some way. So it's a massive effort, but things have been responding quickly. One story I want to highlight is one of our great churches. It's Humble Areas First Baptist Church. Pastor there, Barry Jeffries. Ironically, I was supposed to preach the Sunday that they flooded And of course, those got rescheduled there. But they had over, and that's a large church there. They run well over 1,500 people, and their entire worship center was in 2 feet of water. So wow. in the meantime of fixing things at their own building, they are not just fixing a church building; they are still being a church to their community. So while they are handling massive damage at their building, the teams from their churches and other volunteer teams that they have brought in have helped mud out 200 homes already. So the response is quick. This will be a marathon, but so many things have happened. Supplies down there. People are overwhelmed with supplies. They have lots of supplies. What's going to be a continual need is manpower, manpower and mudding out homes and rebuilding and those things. And so when I look at I was down there all last week, and when I was visiting with pastors and some of our disaster relief teams that are already down there doing feeding and chainsaw and mud outs, there's a lot of exhaustion in eyes, but there's a lot of joy on faces. Because when people are built to minister, they thrive when they get to minister. And this is a great ministry gospel opportunity. And I've had multiple pastors say, Shane, we've prayed for years to get into that community, or we've prayed for years to gain favor with our city leaders. And this has made that opportunity a reality to minister to leaders, to minister to communities, and it's been amazing.
Shane, isn't that something? I'm listening to you, and we know as believers, we can look at events like this from a couple different perspectives. Some say, well, this was judgment on Houston because of certain things that they have done, and perhaps that could be part of it. I think we've talked about here, we ought to consider as a nation that God is sending a message to our nation about our collective walking away from him. But you're sharing some things that are really very, very encouraging. You're looking and saying that there are actually people that are saying, you know, in the midst of this trouble, God is actually, I would say, providing mercy. Is he not, by providing opportunities for the churches there to go into neighborhoods that may have been closed to the gospel? Expand on that a little bit. I think that's just a dramatic thing.
Yeah, spot on. And let me share two things with you that should make us shout from the mountaintops. The Southern Baptist of Texas Convention is part of a larger family with the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole, which is made up over 40,000 churches, other state conventions. So everyone has come to Texas to help us. And we just got this report this morning. It was perfect timing for this show. I want you to listen to this. Through our efforts, the main reason we do disaster relief is to help people physically, but most importantly, to help them spiritually. And so every single one of our DR teams, whether it's a feeding unit, a mud out unit, a chainsaw unit, they all stop and share the gospel with that homeowner and that family. So listen to this. Since Harvey, in the last 2 weeks, 930 gospel presentations have been made. And listen to this. Over 191 people have prayed to receive Christ through the Harvey effort doing.
Wow. Repeat that. 900 what?
So we've done 931 gospel presentations, and as of this morning, 191 people have prayed to receive Christ through our disaster relief fest. So if you think about that, that's possibly 191 people that maybe would have never went to church or never listened to a gospel presentation, but because of this, they are open to what God has for them. They're open to a need. They realize how fragile life is and how fleeting physical things are, because they can literally be washed away by water. But our eternity and our faith in Jesus cannot be washed away, because he's the rock. And so 191 people have prayed to receive Christ. And then secondly, I want to say is that secular society has, I don't know if you've seen in the media, they have noticed the response of the churches. In fact, on Tuesday, there was an article put out by Washington Times, and the title of the article was this: Christians outpace FEMA aid for hurricane victims. Amen. And they put in their statistic, listen to this, according to Washington Times, 80% of aid has come from faith-based groups.
Amen.
To me, those are things we should shout.
Amen.
You know, this is a tremendous thing to take into consideration. And I remember back in the days of Katrina that it seemed as though, at least in my experience, the faith community did much more productive work than FEMA. And I think that there are probably still some people in Louisiana waiting for FEMA to rescue them. I don't know. That may not be true, but it's the point that I'm trying to make, that when Christians get together and work on a project, great things can be done. And my question to you, Shane, is this. You know, we know that God is the one who causes, allows, and directs all things to happen. Do you think there's the possibility that, and we never know completely what God's purposes are, but do you think that there's a great possibility that you could see a spiritual revival there in Texas as a result of what's taking place right now in this matter with Harvey and the cleanup and the residual effects?
Yeah, no doubt. One thing that I'm, there's two things I'm sure of in this time is, number one, God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. So Harvey did not sneak up on God, if that makes
That's
sense.
Right.
Like, you know, Amen. Yeah, Harvey did not sneak up on God. God was not surprised by it. And so I know that God's in control. Now, how that works out in details, I don't really know. But I know that God was in control of this. It did not surprise him. And then the flip side of that coin is there is nothing more beautiful and more powerful than the bride of Christ coming together to be the church, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and being salt and light. And we have seen that happen.
Shane, this is fantastic. We're about out of time, but I don't know. I mean, obviously the Southern Baptist churches across the country are helping to support this, but are you also taking donations from people generally? And if so, give our people a place that they could go to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find all of the ways to respond by going to the website, www.sbtexas.com/Harvey. And there's all the ways to give and to respond and volunteer and all those good things.
Okay, Dr. Shane, we're going to actually put that on our website when we're done with the program. But thank you for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dr. Shane Pruitt. He is the Director of Evangelism and overseeing the outreach by the churches there in Texas to helping the victims of Harvey. And boy, what some encouraging information he shared with us. Thanks for being with us, Shane. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
stay
you,
with us. We're
going
to be right back after these announcements, and we're going to pick up and visit with Dr. Alex McFarland.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for being with us today, and like I often do at this point in the broadcast, if you have not ever visited our website, I encourage you to do so. StandInTheGapRadio.com. Lots of information that you can find there, and all of the archives to all of our programs, all of our Stand in the Gap Today programs, as well as the weekend, as well as the Minute program, which is just a short encouragement from Scripture. All can be found there, plus a lot more. If you have not downloaded our free app, I encourage you to do that. More and more people are doing it. It's just a convenient way to be able to listen to the broadcast. And if you miss it someday because you can't pick it up when it's airing, you can go back and pick it up later. Just on your iPhone or Android, enter the phrase, Stand in the Gap. That's all. Just put in Stand in the Gap and download it. And then you can talk to us. We can communicate to you, and you can access this program and much more right from your fingertips. So with that, I want to move right into now the next segment of this program. We talked with Dr. Shane Pruitt about how the church was coming together in response to what is a disastrous occurrence, Harvey, there in Texas. And he shared some fantastic things about how the church there, he's leading the Southern Baptist Convention efforts there with over 2,600 churches involved, and how that the gospel message as a result has been shared with over 900 people. And to this date right now, over 190 people have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. They simply may not have been ready for it before, but they were now. So in God's mercy, things do work out for the best. So on the other hand, the church's response oftentimes is not unified. I take us back to Charlottesville. Temporarily overshadowed, perhaps by Hurricane Harvey and Irma, the reality is that there's division within this nation. Charlottesville magnified it before us, and it's frankly still with us. And I think almost as if a sense of divine mercy, God interjected the hurricanes, on one hand, I believe, as a warning of judgment to America and to the American church for idolatry, but on the other hand, perhaps an act of mercy, as I just shared, to make us aware of who God is and the role that the church should play. And we're going to invite in right now a special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland. He is the director of the Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center in North Greenville, South Carolina, and a good friend of this program. Alex, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's always great to be on. I have such a respect for you, such an appreciation of all that you do, and anytime we can collaborate, it's very special to me.
Well, it's special to us too, Alex, and that's why I want to have you on here to talk about this aspect of, on one hand, we see unity, disaster. There's unity coming about. But on the other hand, there's a deep division. I want to go back and hearken to Charlottesville, because division stemmed out of there. It didn't start with Charlottesville. It simply magnified it. And unlike the response to the hurricanes, the church and the pulpits really seems to me have run from this issue and really haven't even been sitting in the wings waiting to respond. You, I know, have spoken to this. To this issue across the country. You've tried to go to the heart of the issue. And I want to ask you on this aspect of it. Why has the church and the pulpit been so quiet, and I would say divided, into what Charlottesville represents, what went into that, and what is coming out of it? Speak to that a little bit, if you could, to us, please.
Well, I think a lot of people are unsure what the biblical position is, and a lot of parishioners kind of are maybe a little amorphous on this, because pastors, as a rule, don't speak to moral and social issues, although we know that the parishioners want them to. You know, John Milton, the famous writer John Milton, wrote this line, "The hungry sheep look up and are not fed." 74% of parishioners want their clergy to give the biblical take on social, moral, political issues, but yet only about 12% of pastors do. And those stats are about a year old, so I would think it's probably the same today as it was about 10 or 11 months ago. But, you know, in other words, and Sam, I know, look, it can be a fine diplomatic line that a pastor sometimes feels like he has to walk. I have pastored two churches, and I know that sometimes you have to speak the truth, and you have to speak it carefully and prayerfully and judiciously. But three-fourths of the congregants are essentially looking to their clergy for a biblical position on moral and social issues, but only about 12% of pastors really do talk or speak to the issues of the news from a biblical perspective. Hence, on things like life, marriage, gender, sexuality, yes, racism, even immigration and the point of law, where the Word of God is eminently clear, millions of American parishioners are not clear because their pastors haven't spoken.
You know, that's a pretty sad position, I think, that the church is in, Alex. This is Gary. The fact that, you know, churches and pastors have not spoken to the issue, morally speaking, and of course we've talked about that numerous times here in the program, but let's focus directly on the situation in Charlottesville. And of course that has grown from there to many places across the nation where people are saying, we need to take down these monuments that relate to the Civil War. And because the Civil War was not nice, it was not a good part of our history. And so we've got to forget what took place back there. From the biblical perspective, and you're involved with apologetics, and so from a biblical perspective, what do you see is the value of looking into our past as a nation and learning from the past, our good things, our bad things, and how can the pastor bring that into the pulpit in his particular teaching? I think there's probably some pastors out there today saying, how can I address this Charlottesville situation and the broader perspective? Maybe you can talk on that just for a moment today, Alex, if you would, please.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. You know, it really does break my heart that so many young people, college and younger, are kind of being taught in their public school classrooms and in the secular universities really to be ashamed of America or to not love America. And, you know, I've got to remind people that we are the only nation in history that I know of that fought a war within itself, a civil war. We fought a war to end slavery. And by the way, it was Abraham Lincoln and the Republican Party that gave us the Emancipation Proclamation. So there's just a lot of irony these days. I'm sure you saw Ben Shapiro, who is phenomenal, a great conservative speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed him on the radio a few years ago. He wrote an amazing book called Brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Jewish man who, with, I think, nearly 500 footnotes, meticulously researched the book. Brainwashed says that the average degree at a U.S. university is a four-year attack on America and God.
Mm.
And so he was going to speak, as everyone knows, I'm sure, at Berkeley, and they had to spend, get this, $600,000 on security because all of the Antifa people were rioting. Somebody called, here's Ben Shapiro, he's Jewish, a conservative. Somebody said, you're a white supremacist. And Ben Shapiro said, oh, yeah, what gave it away? My yarmulke?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so the secular progressives and the left that have owned American education for 50 to 75 years have succeeded in pumping out several generations of people that are morally bankrupt, spiritually adrift, and historically misinformed.
Mm.
And so, you know, we've got a chance in the church to be, as Chuck Colson said, and Chuck Colson was a personal friend. I was at his funeral sitting up there with his friends like Al Mohler and,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think about David Barton and Bill Federer mm. and a lot of people that were there sitting right there with the family. I mean, I knew Dr. Colson. And he said the church is to be the conscience of the culture.
That's right.
And we're not only to be the conscience, but I think in many ways the tutor and teacher of the culture. And that's a role that we should not ignore and abdicate.
Hmm. And, you know, the church was actually involved in trying to bring the Civil War to an end, or I should say trying to bring slavery to end in the Civil War days too, correct, Alex?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in my home state of North Carolina, the Methodist Church was very involved, the Quaker Church. I was actually interim pastor at a 261-year-old church called mm-hmm. Buffalo Presbyterian. Now, Buffalo Presbyterian is, you know, the second oldest church in the state. My family's been in that church 215 years. There was a minister named Dr. Eli Carruthers in the early to mid-19th century who preached blistering sermons condemning slavery. And so for all of the secular progs that want to throw Christianity to the curb, look, it was the Christian view of humanity that gave us the awareness of human rights. We're made in the image of God. And I can document that from George Washington to Dr. King. And so we can thank the Christian worldview for our knowledge of human rights and the church for defending them.
Hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening. Stand in the Gap today, our special guest, Dr. Alex McFarland. He is the director of the Christian Worldview and Apologetics Center there in North Greenville, South Carolina. When we come back, we're going to talk with him more specifically in our solutions segment about why the church should be the one addressing this matter of division. We're going to ask with him what the message is to the millennials and what the message should be really to the pulpits as we traverse this division right now in our country. There are answers.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we enter into our solution segment today, the title, the general theme for the program has been From Charlottesville to Harvey to Irma, Will the Church Awake? That's been our general theme. And we talked first about the response of churches in Texas specifically to what Harvey was there. And really, there's a fine demonstration of churches working together and being on the front line, delivering not just physical needs, but spiritual answers to physical needs. And then we had a tremendous report at the first part of this program. Now we're talking about Charlottesville and the fact that coming out of that really is a divisive spirit across the country that has to be addressed. And I'd go as far as to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm thinking in some regards it may be more serious to the long-term health of our country, if not addressed, than a hurricane. And so I want to talk with Dr. Alex McFarland, who is the director of the Christian Worldview and Apologetics Center there in North Greenville, South Carolina. Alex, I'm going to come back to you on that and ask you this. I know that you speak to thousands of millennials. You focus on young people, not exclusively by any means, because you preach a lot as well, but you talk about the power of biblical principles. You try to take those biblical principles and apply them to the needs of the day. Question to you is, how is the younger generation responding to these efforts, which are really there dividing our nation? How are they responding, if at all? And as we see them highlighted there in Charlottesville, how are they responding, and how are you specifically encouraging the younger generation to view what is happening and how to interpret it?
Great, great question. Well, you know, Christianity has always recognized that there's one race, the human race. And this goes back to the first and second centuries, the earliest part of the church, really prior to that, because the Judeo-Christian worldview, the Old Testament, you know, recognizes and proclaims that people are made in the image of God. And so all people, by virtue of being human, made in the image of God, have inherent worth and value and dignity. And personhood is equal for all human beings. That's why Christians have been always at the forefront of defending life, the unborn, because we know that every conception yields a person. And so young people understand, and especially Christian young people, know that racism is wrong. And so I think one of the things that we've done in America, we Christians, and especially those that are in pulpits, oftentimes we've let the left really define the boundaries of the conversation. When people say racism is wrong, you know, 2,000 years of Christian thinkers say, yes, welcome to the party. You know, we've said this from the beginning. And, you know, Charlottesville, though, is something that while at the same time we decry racism, there's only one race, the human race, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But at the same time, Christians and conservatives cannot allow the left to leverage all of this for political gain. You know, let's be honest, the Democrats and the socialists all they want to do is increase their voter base and increase the number of people that are on the government dole getting entitlements and basically robbing people of the liberty and the freedom that our Declaration and Constitution Bill of Rights guarantees before God. And so while we want to stand against things that we know are injustices and wrong, at the same time, calmly, rationally, persuasively, we have to stop the pundits, the media, Hollywood, secular school educators from breeding just generations of nice, young socialist robots, because it will be the loss of our Constitution and our religious freedoms and many other things as well.
Alex, again, I appreciate your time with us. And as we continue this thought on the solution segment of our program, I know that you have a burden for pulpits, as we do here at the Stand in the Gap and the American Pastors Network. And we have a lot of pastors who listen to this program. We have a lot of spiritual church leaders who listen to this particular program. I'm wondering if you could take a couple of minutes and share with our people why the pulpit itself is singularly equipped to deal with the issues of life, whether we are talking about responding to natural disasters or racism or whatever the case may be. Why is the pulpit equipped to deal with this?
Great question. The pulpit is equipped to deal with these and all of the salient issues that we're processing right now. For one thing, because the pulpit, often called that sacred desk, it's where the Word of God is proclaimed, or it should be. So I'm going to presuppose a shepherd of a flock is a godly man who believes the Word and is committed to proclaim the truth of God's Word. We have got the voice of God in the pages of Scripture. So, truth is always relevant. But the other thing that I would say, and I would just plead with everyone listening who's a Sunday school teacher or in a position of leadership or a pastor, your congregants, and yes, young people, really do look to the clergy. Guys, we in all of our events, Truth for a New Generation, and by the way, we've got a camp next summer, an apologetics camp we're doing at North Greenville University, a Truth for a New Generation summer camp for a week. And I would encourage people to bring their kids to that. Just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. You can email me, alex@alexmcfarland.com, and I will give you info about the camp. But listen to this. We do surveys. We're in front of anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000 youth a year, have been for 15 years plus.
Wow.
And we do surveys. To whom do you look for issues about God, morality, premarital sex, life, the big issues? Number one is always parents. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the top five are going to be teachers and peers. Mm-hmm. But virtually always number two are pastors and youth pastors.
Hmm.
And so the pulpits are in a position to make a wonderfully positive difference because we have the Word of God. And yes, Pastor, you have the ear of people and you have the ear of young people.
Alex, what you're laying out is God's design. And we're going to have to wrap up and pray here in just a second. But what you're saying is that the younger people want direction and they're hungry for truth, are they not?
They are. They are. And I would encourage pastors, don't just be pragmatic, motivational speakers on how to have better communication with your spouse or better time management. That's fine. Preach the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what He's promised to bless.
Amen.
Thank you, Alex. Gary, could you take us to the Lord in prayer as we close up the program here today, please?
Father, I thank you for Alex and for his ministry, and I pray that Christians, Christian pastors, Christian church leaders, Christian parents all across this nation today will hear the message that was put out there, that your word is that which is very relevant to all the circumstances of life. And I pray that you'll lead those of us as pastors to preach it without compromise, and we know that you'll bless it and use it for your glory in our lives, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. You've just been listening to special guest Dr. Alex McFarland, and you can contact him at alexmcfarland.com, I believe. But go to our website. We'll have it on there as well. So thanks for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, as you go into the weekend this week, look up and stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.